I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Big issues, big guests, the Dom Giordano Show. Great to have Dan back and his accomplice. How come Ro never sends me anything? She sends Dan stuff saying, Dan, did you see this?
She's a production, our producer from home. It's great.
Yes. Before we go to Commissioner Omar Sabir, Beto O'Rourke, candidate for governor in Texas against Abbott. Abbott, pro-Second Amendment. Beto O'Rourke, one of the leaders, saying he'd go to your house and collect so-called assault weapons, was on stage. Ro told Dan about this. Here's what he said.
Pass the mic to Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick.
Excuse me.
Sit down.
You're out of line and an embarrassment.
Sit down. Don't play this.
The next shooting is right now, and you are doing nothing.
No, he needs to get his ass out of here. This isn't the place to talk this over.
This is totally predictable when you.
Sir, you're out of line. Sir, you're out of line. Sir, you're out of line. Please leave this auditorium. I can't believe you're a sick son of a bitch that would come to a deal like this to make a political issue.
All right, bro. He's got an ear there, Dan. Save that one for tomorrow. Wow. So that's Beto O'Rourke, and I think it's Dan Patrick being confronted there. All right, our guest, Commissioner Omar Sabir, has been with us before, released a statement today. He is a Philadelphia commissioner. The main role of commissioners, the vote, of course, in the whole process. He released a statement on the Texas shooting, and he joins us here on Talk Radio 1210. Commissioner, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
Well, Commissioner, I saw in your statement that you released, we have the power as a nation to act and yet have to make these occurrences even more tragic. What's the number one thing that Commissioner Omar Sabir would act to do specifically?
Well, specifically, first, I would think that we definitely need some time to just reflect on our behavior, right? Because this is just such a tragic incident. We've seen a young man, only 18 years old, kill 19 children and adults. So he actually killed his grandmother, from what I understand.
Yes.
From those reports, in which they may change. So just, you know, just as a father of seven, you know, it just was just difficult for me just to fathom just the pain that these families must be feeling. So I think just the number one thing right now is just we just as a nation, just take our time and just, you know, just take a deep breath. I know we've been through the pandemic and just, you know, tell our loved ones, man, that we love them. You know, I think that's the first initial thing we need to do. And then I also think that we also need to get beyond partisan divide, Democrat, Republican, and then make the issue more humanistic. And everybody put their heads together and see how can we come up with a solution like this. Because I don't think no matter what side you're on, extreme left or the extreme right, to see incidents like this happen, you know, how can we really sit down, hear from the stakeholders and see how can we come up with a solution.
Okay. One of my solutions, I wonder if it would pass muster with you. I'm a former teacher. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. And we've been we've been talking about school districts, Omar, that the one thing to do, the most sufficient, we had on the head of police in Abington, which is a well-respected, restrained issue, is to have either a former police officer, resource officer, someone armed in the school building, and or others that could be trained to repel an evildoer like this who wants to kill children. Would that philosophically pass muster with you?
I think everything is on the table right now. I mean, I think having better security, of course. I do believe that maybe you could do checks inside of cities, like, you know, they do like at metal detectors. They mm-hmm. have random searches as well. And then also you can have someone monitoring the social media, because from what my understanding was that this young man was on TikTok giving a warning. And if people from the school was actually monitoring the TikTok from the students, they possibly could have acted just a little bit sooner for this.
Okay. I noticed paragraph 2 of what you put out, Commissioner. You said one of the ways we can affect real change is by voting, despite efforts by some to limit access to the ballot box. So if you don't mind, since you're on, and that's one of your biggest capacities, and I say this, you're one of the most visible public figures in Philadelphia, which is a credit to you that you're at, you know, I'm on all the social media, all the stuff that you put out. You're at hundreds of events, it seems, a year. What do you mean by limit access to the ballot box?
Well, of course. I mean, as you know, there are some legislators that are trying to limit certain people to vote, and primarily African-American Latino voters from voting. I mean, we know that.
In what way? I mean, if you saw in Georgia, right, in the primary, they set records of people voting. They put in some common sense reforms after the election of 2020. Doesn't it tell us that these were not suppressive when we see the number of people that turned out in the last couple of days?
Well, as African-American, right, we have a different sort of, African-Americans have sort of a different experience with voting than any other demographic, right? We're probably the only demographic that was actually targeted by race. So when you do certain changes in certain laws, it affects us in different ways. And so if this community is saying that these things are blocking our access, I think that we need to listen and pay attention. Now, what's going on down in Georgia? I mean, I'm in Pennsylvania. I know in Pennsylvania, we're accessible up in Pennsylvania more so than other states. But again, you know, we just talking to younger voters, they feel as though that their vote is being oppressed.
And well, let me ask you, go ahead.
So there are things as policymakers that we can do to make the process a lot easier. One of the things that we can do, we can have a holiday off of voting, you know, because some people have to make tough decisions about whether or not to work or whether or not to vote.
Okay, so I'll meet you halfway. If we had a holiday for off to vote, then we could get rid of mail-in balloting.
That's the way how you see it. I mean, mail-in balloting, of course, was a conservative bill. It was bipartisan. It came out of Harrisburg. We're just talking about Pennsylvania now. It came out of mm-hmm. Harrisburg. And it worked. I mean, you know, it was accessible. I mean, it's people that's trapped inside of their houses that don't have access to leave their house. And the other way was it was too many rules. It wasn't a great system. But the system that we have now is universal. I think it can be better. We had pre-canvas and a few other things. But, hey, man, Act 77 gave access to people who wouldn't have the opportunity to vote. So I believe in vote by mail. You may not believe in vote by mail, but I do. I mean, I think it's...
Doesn't it make it, though, much more unwieldy? Not saying just corruption, but we're seeing this in the race with McCormick and Oz. It's excruciating, the period of time. And you're in the position of both accurately counting the vote, but keeping public perception up that everything's on the up and up with the vote. And I just think the longer it goes on, that makes that job harder as far as the counting.
Well, this is true. I mean, that's why we asked our legislators to allow us to do pre-canvassing. In states like Florida, Denver, and a few other states, they get to open up, they start the extraction process, and they start that canvassing process 2 weeks prior to Election Day. And we have to wait until 7 a.m. on election day to begin the extraction process. That adds time. I mean, if we had pre-canvassing, that would mean a world of difference. I mean, we definitely would be able to get the election results that night, or if not that night, it would be a little bit earlier the next day.
I've read in some media with Commissioner Sabir with us that you guys, or at least some in your office, wanted more drop boxes. And I don't know that the surveillance is already good enough. I know it's tough to surveil 24 hours a day. I think I saw a number of 72 drop boxes in one statement anyhow. Are you on board with that?
Sure. I mean, again, if we can get all the technical requirements, of course, then there'll be a broadband partnership between all different departments, not just the commissioner's office, to actually pull that through. But yes, we definitely want the surveillance. We definitely would like to have a drop-off box in each ward in the city. I mean, that would be beautiful, so that people can just sit and just have access all across the city. I mean, our position is more, not less. I mean, whatever we could do, you know, as far as our powers to
okay.
make it easier for the citizens of Philadelphia to vote, let them vote. We want more people to participate in our democracy. That's what makes our democracy strong. We have people that have access to voting and make decisions. And we want to increase voter turnout. That's what we want. Not just here in Philadelphia. I mean, just fundamentally, you know, America runs better when you have more people voting.
All right. Well, Commissioner, thank you for taking the time to come on again. We'd like to talk before the next election. Is there a website that you'd point people toward?
Sure. Listen, people are trying to get their results. You can go to results.philadelphiavotes.com, results.philadelphiavotes.com. And as always, I give my personal email, Omar, O-M-A-R, dot Sabir at Phila.gov, Omar, O-M-A-R, dot Sabir at Phila.gov. Please send me an email, give me a call, 215-686-3462. I'd love to hear your opinions on how we could make this process better and more understanding for the citizens of Philadelphia. And thank you for allowing me to have your platform. And as always, you know, anytime you invite me, I'm going to come.
Excellent. We will do that again. Omar, thank you very much for joining us today.
Sure, anytime.
All right, nice work by Dan back in the saddle. There's Commissioner Sabir. So, Dan, I was willing to give the trade-off there. All right, you have a voting holiday, but no mail-in balloting. There was a long pause there, though.
I mean, it makes perfect sense. If you're not working, then you can get out to the polls.
Right. What do we need the mail-in ballot for then?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, we still need it. All right, 855-839-1210. You get on board. Don't forget the side question. We'll take some more of them.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Of course, the major thing we're talking about is the school shooting and the aftermath of that. Roe even on today telling Dan it was Beto O'Rourke. Now, you know, how does this guy think he has a chance? He must be sniffing this and think, you know what? Even in Texas, people are so upset with this, they'll want to vote for the most obvious nothing, all glitz and no, or all hat and no cattle, as they say in Texas. And he'll seize this moment to go after them there on stage. That's what you heard happening there with, as Alan West says, Robert O'Rourke. How would you like to see a debate with Colonel West standing there, the full military bear, looking facing down?
Oh, I would love it. I would hate to see it.
Beto O'Rourke and calling him Robert. My name is Beto. It's Robert. All right. So how come the Reading police can do this? Just saw this story today, and we're going to try to get them on Friday because we're already booked up tomorrow. The police department in Reading will continue to enforce city ordinances regarding illegal use of dirt bikes and ATVs on Reading streets due to the hazard they pose. Police executives and the administration have instructed patrol officers to engage and pursue riders driving recklessly or without apparent compliance when safe. To anyone seeing these images, please know we will chase you, confiscate your bikes, and crush them. How can Reading do this? Now, Reading doesn't strike me as this conservative town anymore. I don't know, at least from what I can tell. So they're saying, we're going to chase you, we're going to take the bite. It's obviously illegal, or 90% of the time. Then we're going to put it in the center square with an excavator, and we're going to crush them. We're going to have fun doing it. Why is it Philadelphia can't do any of this stuff?
You know, I noticed something. I think it was either Thursday. Yeah, it was Thursday. I was driving through Kensington, and I was driving back down. What's the name of the road that's right there? Let's just say it's Aramingo. So, no, right. It's Frankfurt. I'm driving down Frankfurt. And I pass a guy coming from, the east to west. And he has behind him a trailer filled with dirt bikes. And the guy has jersey plates. So I'm wondering to myself, has we officially crossed the line here in Philadelphia where dirt bike hobbyists are hearing that it's fair game in Philadelphia? So now they're taking a trailer of dirt bikes.
Exactly.
You know, when I used to ride, I used to have a jet ski. It always used to be a thing of mine, like, oh, I'd love to ride through the canals of a city. You know, it'd be really cool. I'm sure that these dirt bikers think, oh, it'd be great to ride through city streets if it were legal. Well, Philadelphia, it turns out it's close to legal here. So
yeah,
come on
over. They don't want any little park where they can go and do their – no. It's the dystopian thing. It's the wildness. We can do what others can't.
Yep.
And then they video it. They're showing their buddies the whole thing. They go to a gas station together. It's a mob mentality. So in Reading, of all places – they're apparently successful at stopping them, capturing them, and then crushing their vehicles. They said, for the people who live in the city, they're overwhelmingly overjoyed. We're taking a real stand on this. They live here. They're the ones that are dealing with this. The decent, law-abiding citizens are loving it. We've gotten tons of messages. Someone even made a T-shirt for people who live here and deal with it. They're thrilled that we're smashing them. Isn't that exactly what our listeners would love in Krasner land? Exactly. And Reading, as I said, I don't know. I thought they had Democrats running it. Has such a problem with this, they're now doing that. All right, we're going to try to get them on. Tomorrow, we're already kind of booked. We have a former Texas Ranger who's the nation's expert on all this stuff with school shootings and hardening buildings. We have Rand Paul at noon, and we have Kellyanne Conway tomorrow. That is blockbuster already. Okay. President Biden is apparently, I haven't seen it yet, but poised through executive order on this anniversary of George Floyd's killing by Officer Derek Chauvin to go after the police again. He wants to, through federal law, take away some police powers. And he wants to require a review and revising on policies on the use of force by the federal government, not local or state. He would restrict the flow of surplus military equipment to local police. I'm on board with that one. But again, in the middle of all this, this is another attempt on this anniversary, and you're going to see Democrats do this repeatedly, to go after the police. Is that what is required vis-a-vis the death of George Floyd? I think police have reformed. So this is the second anniversary, Dan. What would you say the biggest change has been in 2 years? The biggest attempted change is when Tim Scott met with Democrats, but they wanted the issue, so they wouldn't sign off. Tim Scott and Republicans wanted to sign off on no chokeholds. They wanted to sign off on, I believe, a curtailment on the no-knock. I would sign off on the no-knock situation. I think that has to go through a judge, and that has to be litigated more before you can do a no-knock coming in with weapons. But Democrats didn't want to sign off on that because they want to take away limited qualified immunity for police. If police don't have that, it's already enough that we can't get cops in Philadelphia. You want to take away qualified immunity, they're going to be sued every second of the day. Who's going to want to do that job? So on this anniversary, how much more do you want to go after cops? We're already experiencing this in Philadelphia. 14 turned out the last time, and half of them didn't last through physical training. You just can't continue with this stuff. We've talked about that. All right, let me take some more callers. 855-839-1210. You get on board. Let's try Todd over in Overbrook. Hey, Todd, good afternoon. How you doing?
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I did send you an email or something. I want you to consider it for a discussion tomorrow, if possible.
Okay.
It has to do with registering guns, but I wanted to give you an answer to the side question. Naughty Holder. It's easy to go with Freddie Mercury and all that, but Naughty Holder from Slade, give him a listen. He is the most powerful vocalist in rock and roll ever.
Wow, I don't know him, Dan.
I only
do you know him?
One song by them. And don't they do Come On, Feel the Noise? Is that them?
They are the originals of Come On, Feel the Noise, but there are dozens of amazing songs by them. But his voice absolutely rips the roof off.
Wow. All right, Todd. We appreciate it very much. Now, I may have to buy you that pizza over in Overbrook one of these days.
All right.
Thank you, Todd.
Quick thing here, to let you know, I grew up out in Chester County. It's not Whiteland. It's Whiteland. There's a big difference.
Whiteland. Okay.
You were pronouncing it Whiteland the other day, and it just sounded kind of awkward. As far as your stance on the death penalty goes, you also can be excommunicado, your favorite word of the day. But we can add to that anathema, which I think is a really terrific word. It's got great jingle to it, you know, anathema.
It so does. I am an anathema, yes, an enigma, all too. Right. Thank you, Todd, very
all
much.
Right.
Dan, we got to do excommunicado day tomorrow. Yeah. Maybe who should be excommunicado? Now look, Todd's a perfect example of what we try to do in talk radio. And Todd gets it now, I think. I think he did. He always did. In that, I welcome the contrarian voice, not screaming at each other and going back and forth. But he's a guy who really listens, and he picks up every flaw, which I'm fine with. There are enough flaws here. Like Dan tells me, or Ro, you said this or you said that. How dare you? You know, that type of thing.
We haven't heard from our friend in King of Prussia for a long time. Gosh, I can't remember the name. But
Terry?
Terry. King of Prussia.
Yeah,
he's
the union guy.
Maybe his work schedule's messed
up. Yeah, many times he called me from a phone booth.
If I had a top five rating, though, I think Todd might have passed Paul in Cheltenham as the number one.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, you'll get
Paul,
that.
Paul, you got to step up, man.
You'll get that going. Yeah, Paul in Cheltenham has been kind of in our camp somewhat, you know, the last few times that he's called in.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Todd is a great caller, without a doubt. Even when we differ, it doesn't matter. It gets the juices flowing.
For a long time, though, man, Terry had that locked.
Oh, yeah. He kept on firing right out of the box. Yeah. So it's 855-839-1210. You do get on board. I still have not seen the official word. We're looking for it. But we believe that Dr. Oz has been declared the winner, at least through the Secretary of State in Pennsylvania. And I do think it's time that Dave McCormick give up this ballot issue. It's really helpful to setting a precedent for Democrats to screw with the entire system. Now, you heard Omar Sabir. I said, okay, we're going to have a voting holiday. Not that I'm in favor of that. I think people can show up and vote. But okay, we're going to have that. Then would you give up the mail-in system? Oh, no, we're not going to ever give that up. I will be shocked if the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, and it's right there in the state constitution, rules that Act 77 is unconstitutional. I think they're going to allow this through the midterms, you know, and we'll see how that plays out. It's going to be a mess, even in the midterms, let alone 2024 if we have this. Proof? It's a dithering. If I'm in charge of the world, Dan, we are going to, by 1 o'clock in the morning, I don't care how many people we have to put on, we're going to have a result in the election. Not the next day. You know that line from Shawshank Redemption. Not after breakfast. Not after another count. You're going to get out there and you're going to find the guy. That scene when the warden comes in. That's what we need. Instead, we still don't know who the nominee is, I think, fully officially. And Dave McCormick, my advice would be, he's run a great campaign here. He becomes the party chairman and he runs against Bob Casey Jr. I just sent you, Dan, the remarks of Bob Casey Jr. on the shooting from the floor of the Senate. Not as riveting, but I think there is something in there, as when he said we need drop boxes on the family farms across Pennsylvania because people have to ride tractors on election day. Remember that? And you heard Omar Sabir say, yeah, why can't we have 72 drop boxes? Can you imagine? Why not a drop box in every corner in Philadelphia? 855-839-1210. Liz Parade-Havey will give us an update from Montgomery County lead Republican on what she hears is happening here and what she thinks should happen next to keep the party together to beat John Fetterman. It is Dom time. Great stuff today. Love the calls. Keep them coming. Liz Parade-Havey has been my go-to on many matters, but particularly during this campaign. Do we have an official, semi-official, unofficial, official, semi-official winner now for the nomination? And what should Dave McCormick do? I think maybe consider running the state party if they would have him do that, then running against Bob Casey Jr., who's certainly vulnerable. But he's got to give up this mail-in ballot. You can do whatever you want with it, and it counts. He was on the other day, and I understand the agony of what it must be like when you go through this and it's this close. Liz heads up the Republicans in Montgomery County. All right, Liz, can you tell us Montgomery County is done counting?
Hi, Dom. Yes, Montgomery County is done counting.
It's a miracle. Yes.
It's a miracle. Everything's in the count. And now it's just a matter of starting the recount, which Montgomery County Voter Service is saying they're going to schedule for 3 days, although they think it will probably take less, maybe a day, maybe two, but it should be very fast.
Well, what happens in the recount? Do you just take all the votes and put them through the machinery again and then the provisionals and all that? Do you do the same thing?
Yep, you do the same thing. Exactly. And it won't take as long because ballots won't need to be recreated. Some of these other minor issues that come up that create delays won't happen. And so it's generally very smooth. And, you know, you don't really see changes in recount numbers that are significant. They don't change the outcome of elections. And so, you know, the question is, I guess the state just said that Dr. Oz has over 900 votes more. So I don't know, you know, maybe there's some stragglers that still need to be counted. I don't know. Who knows with the Department of State? I mean, in my view, the Pennsylvania is once again the laughingstock around the country, that here we are 8 days after election and we still don't really know what the final vote count is. You know, there's the discrepancies of, well, are there 2,000 ballots that are undated, or I've heard 800 ballots that are undated? You know, it's really outrageous that we need a better system here.
And Liz, on that, let's say it was 800 or 900 or 1,000 even. That would mean McCormick essentially would have to all those be McCormick voters or like in the 90 percentile in order to overcome this.
Right. Exactly. Which, if you know, if that is the case, you know, I'm sure that he doesn't expect to win all those ballots. I mean, there are trends you can see in various counties and figure out where votes are coming from and where they'll end up generally.
Yeah. And the damage here, you hit the word the other day. We had on the commissioner in Philadelphia, and he's fine with 72 drop boxes he wanted now in the city. We already are out of control with the system. Just in a primary, we can't handle it, let alone the midterms and then the big one, the presidential thing. So the advice would be to Dave, he'll look great doing it. And he's one of the people, Liz, I think, a definite contender the party ought to be mobilizing. The Republican Party can stop Bob Casey Jr. in 2024 with a guy like this, with increased name recognition and the money and all that to spend. He would be a natural to take on Casey.
Yeah, I think so. I think the problem that he has is this lawsuit to count the undated ballots. You know, I've been hearing from people the last couple of days, other county chairs in blue counties who are really upset, some of whom supported Dave. I suspect when he filed the lawsuit to count these ballots, he hadn't, you know, the lawyers were saying, you can do this. And, you know, now you start hearing from those of us, like, walk a day in my shoes as a chair in a blue county where we have nobody on the inside. I mean, we've talked about our minority commissioner is the opposite of helpful. We might as well have a Democrat. So we don't have anybody in there. And, you know, we only have three security measures left. So that's a security envelope, a signature, which now doesn't even have to match, and a date. And, you know, trying to strip away one more of these, the, you know, ballot integrity,
yes,
ballot protections is not the wrong thing to do. And so my hope would be that if it does come down to the point where he can't win with the votes that are outstanding, that he would consider, you know, withdrawing the lawsuit.
Yeah, what this reminds me of, Liz, is Act 77, where I get it. They were trading off at the upper level. And I said on the air, I think this is too dangerous. This is what progressives are going to do. They took the loophole there and they gave us full bore mail-in ballot. Well, with this, if you strip away another security measure here, it's never going to end. They will not end. They don't want security measures, essentially, or some of them don't. They see it as an advantage to them.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I was told today that Mark Elias, the big Democrat lawyer in the country, is going to try to intervene in the lawsuit on behalf of Dave McCormick's position. And that's like a big warning sign here, you know. And so, you know, I understand in the heat of battle when, you know, the lawyers are saying you have this argument. But in the end, when you talk to those of us who are in these blue counties who don't have anybody on the inside, you know, it's not a good idea. It's a very bad idea. And my hope is that he will recognize that and decide that he shouldn't push forward with this lawsuit.
Right. And we want to get on to the Fetterman issue. Jeff Bartos, who was on yesterday, and look, he's a guy of accomplishment, Liz, and I know you're a fan of his too, but I think during the campaign he got lost. You know, you got a powerhouse in Kathy Barnett personality. You have Dr. Oz, and then you have the money between Oz and McCormick that is almost unmatchable. And it's a shame, but Jeff really found his voice yesterday in being more blunt about this, including, I don't wish John Fetterman any ill. I think he's a spectacularly bad candidate for their side, and I want it to be decided on that. But there is an issue of health here, and we haven't heard enough about it through the media. If it were on the other side, and it were Oz McCormick or somebody like that, we would see wall-to-wall coverage of a health issue like this.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what I think is interesting is here you have one of the top cardiac surgeons in the country who is likely going to be our nominee, and you have a guy that has, you know, a potentially lethal cardiac issue. You know what? There was a story, and I wasn't there, that during one of the caucus meetings, the state committee caucus meetings, somebody looked like they were having a heart attack, and Dr. Oz ran in and,
yes,
and you know, really stepped in and helped this man. Until the emergency professional could get there. And, you know, you wonder, it's like on a debate stage, this is a very serious illness that Fetterman has. I know they downplayed it, but now, you know, you have doctors who are not political at all, willing to even say to the media, this is quite serious. But wouldn't it be something if Dr. Oz has to save Fetterman's life on a debate stage?
Well, this campaign has seen everything imaginable, Liz. How do you feel about Montgomery County? And let's say, because it appears to be Oz, I know you guys nominated or endorsed Dave White, and I was buying into, I really wanted to see what White could do with blue-collar voters. I'm intrigued. He made his pitch well. I can understand why you guys, for all the reasons we went through, but I want to see if it's true that Dr. Oz, particularly Republican women, comes across as reasonable, et cetera, even though conservatives, you know, are skeptical of him. And I see the obvious reason why. Montgomery County, we should do pretty well with him if he's the nominee.
Well, it's interesting you ask that question, because one of my area leaders called me today. And they had looked at the vote totals. You know, Kathy Barnett won Montgomery County handily, as you would expect. She's, you know, just ran her congressional race here and has a lot of fans here. And so but when you looked at the places, according to my leader, looking at all of the kind of the swing areas in Montgomery County, those precincts, and he said, you know, Dr. Oz won them all. So that's interesting to me, because in places where it's not swing, you know, Western Monco, sort of the more conservative place, mm-hmm, where Kathy won. But in these swing areas, they voted for Oz. So I think that's listen, he's going to need to, if he is the nominee eventually, he's going to need to win that swing vote. And, you know, from what I'm hearing, that's what he did here in Montgomery County.
All right. Well, that is good news, Liz. Thank you. And thanks through this. And it's not over yet, I guess.
Over yet, but we're looking forward to fighting Fetterman. That's the thing, Dom. You know, we're ready. We're ready to battle and for fighting Shapiro, too. I mean, everybody at this point is ready to unite. People are itchy. Let's get this finalized and let's get moving.
Absolutely. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you.
Liz Breate-Havey here on Talk Radio 1210. So, Dan, that sounds like a semi-official, unofficial official, that it will be Dr. Oz. But still, the embarrassment, 8 days in, and it's still not, you know, and that's not even with the recount, which shouldn't take too long. All right, phone lines. Love to get you in, 855-839-1210. We've had some great answers today. All-time favorite lead singer. Dan and I are going back and forth, can hardly wait for Excommunicado Day tomorrow. I love saying that. So,
We said it earlier in the hour. Just want to remind, it's 902 votes.
To 902.
902. So,
yeah. Well,
there are a couple newspapers, Bucks County Courier Times, among many others, that say, in what may be the closest statewide primary in Pennsylvania since the 1960s, Mehmet Oz has managed to eke out a victory over Dave McCormick by just 902 votes as of 2 p.m. Wednesday as the state prepares for an automatic recount.
Because it had been caught in that Bermuda Triangle, it was 980, 982. It kept on going back and forth for 24 hours. So if it's 902... people on the inside told me they thought it would end up about 700. And they don't think in a recount. Now, what's going to happen, Dan, if they find a bag of votes somewhere? Then we're off to hell with this. So I hope the recount goes smoothly and Dave then withdraws the, you don't have to put the date on the envelope thing. I know it's a technicality, but this is all that's standing between us and chaos. Phone lines, 855-839-1210, you get in. It is Dom time. Welcome in. So Nikki sends me an email, Dan. He sends a lot of them to me. He said, why has Dan forgotten about Tom Jones as a great lead singer?
Why has Dan forgotten? Why has Dom forgotten about Tom Jones?
I'm telling you, when it's Dom Giordano Day in Wildwood, if Tom Jones happened to be in Atlantic City, I would scheme with Harry Hurley and every force imaginable to get him over there. Can you imagine?
You know, I got to say, when I first started this show, I thought of Tom Jones as a novelty act. And I really did question your love of Tom Jones. But as I've listened more to him, been forced to listen to his voice here on the Dom Giordano program, I got to say, I have myself become a fan of Tom Jones. So I would be fully in support of Tom Jones doing Dom Giordano Day.
How many acts have women thrown their drawers at people? Well, the Elvis, and that's the 50s.
Yeah.
And women were just, I think there's only been four or five major ones. Did they do it with Engelbert Humperdinck? I don't think so.
No. With a name like Engelbert, come on.
No, I don't think they did. He's a contemporary, though, I guess, of Tom Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, I just feel like Tom Jones has so many songs like What's New Pussycat or This, It's Not Unusual, that it's kind of like kitschy. But you know, the same can be said for, like, Harry Belafonte. You think he has those very popular songs that kind of make him, you know, not a serious singer, but he was also a very serious singer as well.
Yeah, so. Well, Jones is still releasing an album at 80.
That's
He's
crazy.
On my list.
Good you for haven't him, got, man.
You haven't gotten him on the show yet. Now, that would be a festival.
He still does, like, a YouTube channel and stuff, too, man.
Are there Tom Jones cover bands? Probably not, huh?
I don't think
no,
so.
No, only Neil Diamond. That Neil Diamond guy, I should have walked right up and signed him up last year in Wildwood.
Right?
All right, let's go to the callers here. Let's see. Let's go to Bruce in Garnet Valley. Hey, Bruce, thanks for the wait. Go right ahead, Bruce.
Tom, can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. Thank you.
Good. I have the, I don't want to say the luxury, but the, I was a past facilities, security, and maintenance manager for a school district as well as for a prison, Delaware County Prison, now known as George W. Hill. So I have kind of perhaps a different perspective on weapons inside the facility.
Okay, and what is that?
And that would be... at the prison, no weapons were allowed inside the facility. The armory was completely separate, and under no circumstances would they have been brought into the facility. Whereas a school district, I really don't see that as, I do see the benefit of having a police officer or resource officer perhaps being armed. But at that point in time, the students and everyone else are going to know that this is a gentleman that's carrying a gun or a lady that's carrying a gun, and that perhaps in some instances may make them a target.
Well, if they are, you know, if the shooter comes looking for them, that buys seconds, whatever happens there, buys time, 30 seconds, a minute, for law enforcement to storm the school, does it not? If they're concentrating on the person that might be concentrating on them, that's not a bad thing. Others can get into better cover, plus have more time.
I think the problem is with the school districts is they are forbidden by national code, for example, to lock certain doors. They cannot lock fire exit doors, which typically are stairwell doors, and a kid going out and someone coming in there. I truly believe that everyone that comes into the school district, regardless if it's the superintendent, principal, whoever, should go through a metal detector and be patted down. It's a heck of an inconvenience, but when you have a situation like that occurred like yesterday, it would have been a blessing.
Thank you, Bruce. But look, no, I'm not going to be patting. The shooter is not caring about your metal detectors or your patting down or whatever. They're just coming in on a rampage to kill people. So, no, I'm not a fan of those types of things. We're not seeing someone smuggling a weapon in, then going off in school. They're coming right down Broadway, coming in through the side door and opening fire, or right down the center door, or firing through glass and then having access to the building. So, no, I don't think we want to go through that. We do want to try to filter everything through one door if possible. All right, lightning round coming up. Hit us with your all-time great singer. As I said, we're excited. Tomorrow at noon, Rand Paul is on the show. And then Kellyanne Conway's 12:30, Dan?
Yes, sir.
That's a blockbuster,
it's gonna be a huge show tomorrow.
First hour. And then we have this Texas Ranger that I interviewed last night, one of the all-time experts on this whole thing of having people in schools that can return fire, even in Texas. Only about 33, 35 school districts have done that out of hundreds. And that's where people usually know about weapons. All right, 855-839-1210. All right, what do we call this segment, guys, to end off the show in
fine style?
The time
has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
Yes, today we're just looking for your all-time. We didn't hear... Well, we do have one female here. Good. Your all-time lead singer. Aretha Franklin was voted that by Rolling Stone, their top 100. Elvis was second. Jagger was up there. Bruce Springsteen, disgracefully, was only at number 32, Dan, all-time.
Good.
It's got to be top 10.
Finally, someone's not overrated. Well, it's still kind of overrated. 32 of all time?
I knew he couldn't resist. Yeah, exactly, no, yes. There were not enough yacht rock lead singers there. All right. I don't see the passion yet with Yacht Rock.
Well, there's one on the board right
yeah,
now, Don. That's he's a competitor, I think.
We're going to go for that. 855-839-1210. You can get on board. And as I said, tomorrow, Rand Paul, and one of the things we're going to ask Rand Paul, he's been saying, no, $40 billion more to Ukraine, he and 11 other Republican senators. And people have said today, one of the guests we had on, wouldn't that money be better spent hardening American schools, including salaries for police, resource officer, whatever you want to call them? And my answer is yes. All right, let's go to Sam in Radnor on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Sam, who's your lead singer?
Hey, Don, God bless you for what you do. You and the likes of Dennis Prager are definitely the future of this country's salvation. I love everything you say and do.
Well, thank you. Very nice of you, Sam.
Well, I was a talk show host, as you know, and that.
Yes.
Anyway, my choice, I'm partial because he was my next-door neighbor and good friend in Santa Barbara, but unquestionably, Michael McDonald, Doobie Brothers, one of the great lead singers of any group, and he's the only white guy that can sound more like a black guy when he sings. He's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
All right, thank you.
Sam, grab your Sperry's. Let's head over to a yacht and listen to some Michael McDonald. But I think we might be the only ones that think he's up there as the best lead. Well, no. No,
hey, Dan, by the way, you know, I like to be shoeless, but you look like a guy with boat shoes. Do you have that stuff?
I do have boat shoes.
Oh, God, I hate those shoes. Pairs, yeah. Doesn't that bother your feet?
Yeah, I never wear them because it hurts.
And, yeah, there you go.
You know, it kind of looks weird to wear them with socks, and it kind of grosses me out to wear shoes without socks.
Exactly. So. I hate to put on my shoes even to go out to put out the trash. Yeah. When it gets to summertime, I just walk right on the street.
You have some Adidas sandals, don't you wear?
No, no sandals ever. Sandals? I hate the sandals.
Not flip-flops. I'm talking like the ones that go across
your
whole foot.
No, I hate all that. Anything sandal-related. It's too biblical or something. Let's go to Joe in Exton. Joe, who's that lead singer for you?
Hello, Dom. My lead singer is Deborah Harry and Blondie.
Ooh, very nice. The first female today that we got. John in Egg Harbor Township. Hello, John. Who's yours?
My singer is Tiny Tim.
Why Tiny Tim?
Oh, he has the best voice ever.
All right. That's outside the box. Drew's got a
Is he the one guy that's out there in the world that actually thinks Tiny Tim has a great voice?
I don't know. I think that was a fun call, maybe.
Yeah, sarcasm.
Drew's got a good one that's a contender, I think. Drew in Upper Darby, who's yours, Drew?
Hey, Dom, thanks. I think that last guy, I think he was tiptoeing through the tulip for Tiny Tim. One of the great power bands of the 70s with Led Zeppelin with Robert Plant.
Oh, man.
All-time power band, you're exactly right. And, oh, boy, this one, unusual voice. Karen and Delco, our last hitter. Who do you say, Karen?
Oh, it's Audrey.
Audrey, yes.
And it's Barry Gibb from the Bee Gees.
Oh!
All right, there's that big Bee Gees
contingent. Sounds very similar to Tiny Tim, in my opinion.
Yes. I don't know that I can go with that one. All right, who are the two contenders out of all this?
I like, let's go contemporary with Pearl Jam's Eddie Vedder, Dave and Gloucester, versus a little dated, but still a great band in Queen with Freddie Mercury calling from Mary Ellen.
I liked Mary Ellen's call, too. It was very good with the Mercury stuff and the back and forth with you and Springsteen, et cetera. So let's go with Mary Ellen on that.
She said Bruce Springsteen sounds constipated.
Yes.
Great call.
Yes.
Yes.
Tomorrow, Excommunicado Day. Well, give me a chance to take some more shots at addled Nancy Pelosi. Will this San Francisco Archbishop, she's betting, just say, all right, it's not worth it. Go and get communion. I'm wrong. I don't think so. Excommunicado should be next. So have your foreign phrase ready tomorrow. No menage a trois. That's already taken off the board a day in advance.
Bruce
Can't do it.
When he sings, sounds like he's constipated.
The there was an extra touch. Hey, great to have Dan back. Jim Kelly here. Dan, the prodigal son. Jim, the good son, staying here with us. Get the fatted calf, Jim. Dan gets none of that. I don't like the prodigal son. Out of every biblical verse, I know, try to explain it to me. Priests have tried to do that. I reject it. Not like Nancy Pelosi, though. All right, coming up, the Sean Hannity Show. Follow me on Twitter at DomShow1210, at DomShow1210. Have a great day. Back tomorrow in 21 hours.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3, from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.